वेद परा होस्त्रा कराय शामस्तुता पुरुषा भाषो न यत् कारणपतो भेतो जातु नाम गताग्रजः. Men who are like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses, praise those men who never listen to the transcendental pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna, the deliverer from evils. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The general mass of people, unless they are trained systematically for a higher standard of life in spiritual values, are no better than animals. They have particularly been put on the level of dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. Modern university education practically prepares one to acquire a doggish mentality with which to accept the service of a greater master. After finishing a so-called education, the so-called educated person move like dogs from door to door with applications for some service, and mostly they are driven away, informed of no vacancy. As dogs are negligible animals, and serve the master faithfully for bits of bread, a man serves a master faithfully without sufficient rewards. Persons who have no discrimination in the matter of foodstuff and who eat all sorts of rubbish are compared to hogs. Hogs are very much attached to eating stools. Such stool is a kind of foodstuff for a particular type of animal, and even stones are edibles for a particular type of animal or bird. But the human being is not meant for eating everything and anything. He is meant to eat grains, vegetables, fruits, milk, sugar, etc. Animal food is not meant for the human being. For chewing solid food, the human being has a particular type of teeth meant for cutting fruits and vegetables. The human being is endowed with two canine teeth as a concession for persons who will eat animal food at any cost. It is known to everyone that one man's food is another man's poison. Human beings are expected to accept the remnants of food offered to Lord Krishna, and the Lord accepts foodstuffs from the categories of leaves, flowers, fruits, etc. As prescribed in Vedic scriptures, no animal food is offered to the Lord. Therefore, a human being is meant to eat a particular type of food. He should not imitate the animals to derive so-called vitamin values. Therefore, a person who has no discrimination in regard to eating is compared to a hog. The camel is a kind of animal that takes pleasure in eating thorns. A person who wants to enjoy family life or the worldly life of so-called enjoyment is compared to the camel. Materialistic life is full of thorns, and so one should live only by the prescribed method of Vedic regulations, just to make the best use of a bad bargain. Life in the material world is maintained by sucking one's own blood. The central point of attraction for material life is sex life. To enjoy sex life is to suck one's own blood. And there is not much more to be explained in this connection. The camel also sucks its own blood while chewing thorny twigs. The thorns the camel eats cut the tongue of the camel, and so blood begins to flow within the camel's mouth. The thorns, mixed with fresh blood, create a taste for the foolish camel, and so he enjoys the thorn-eating business with false pleasure. Similarly, the great business magnates, industrialists, who work very hard to earn money by different ways and questionable means, eat the thorny results of their actions mixed with their own blood. Therefore, the Bhagavatam has situated these diseased fellows along with the camels. The ass is an animal who is celebrated as the greatest fool. Even amongst the animals. The ass works very hard and carries burdens of the maximum weight without making profit for itself. The ass is generally engaged by the washerman, whose social position is not very respectable. And the special qualification of the ass is that it is very much accustomed to being kicked by the opposite sex. When the ass begs for sexual intercourse, he is kicked by the fair sex. Yet he still follows the female for such sexual pleasure. A henpecked man is compared, therefore, to the ass. The general mass of people work very hard, especially in the age of Kali. In this age, the human being is actually engaged in the work of an ass, carrying heavy burdens and driving tela and rickshaws. The so-called advancement of human civilization has engaged a human being in the work of an ass. The laborers in great factories and workshops are also engaged in some such burdensome work. And after working hard during the day, the poor laborer has to be kicked again by the fair sex, not only for sex enjoyment, but also for so many household affairs. So, Srimad Bhagavatam's categorization of the common man without any spiritual enlightenment into society of dogs, hogs, camels, and asses is not at all an exaggeration. The leaders of such ignorant masses of people may feel very proud of being adored by such a number of dogs and hogs, but that is not very flattering. The Bhagavatam openly declares that although a person may be a great leader of such dogs and hogs disguised as men, if he has no taste for being enlightened in the science of Krishna, such a leader is also an animal and nothing more. He may be designated as a powerful, strong animal or a big animal, but in the estimation of Srimad Bhagavatam, he is never given a place in the category of man on account of his atheistic temperament. Or in other words, such godless leaders of dogs and hog-like men are bigger animals with the qualities of animals in greater proportion. Sure. Sriman Gauranga Prabhu has personally selected this verse for your enlightenment. We are reading from the second canto, chapter 3 of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Pure Devotional Service. In order to attain pure devotional service, it is important to understand what is not pure devotional service. As Isha Upanishad explains, we must cultivate both knowledge and ignorance simultaneously. Because yama and niyama in the yoga system, we must know what is favorable and what is unfavorable. Here we find Sukadeva Goswami is explaining the psychology of the common person who is addicted to materialistic temperament of life. These qualities are, to one degree or another, embedded within the consciousness of every conditioned soul. Unless we detect these tendencies within ourselves, and unless we're able to identify them also in others, and understand the nature of these tendencies and what the results will be if we act according to their dictation, we will not be able to overcome them. Just like a doctor, he knows what is good health, but he must also understand what is the symptom of disease and how to deal with that to bring a person to good health. So these dogs, hogs, camels, and asses are living with all of within all of our hearts. And in this age of Kali Yuga especially, these tendencies are prevalent everywhere. Unfortunately, those who live by these animalistic tendencies due to false ego, they consider that these tendencies are something very, very glorified. Therefore, a person who sees one who has these tendencies to a stronger extent and who is able to manifest them in a greater way, these are the people that common men will look up to. Look at our society today. Have you ever seen monkeys jumping around? But why do they jump around? They jump around like anything simply to attract the female monkeys and to somehow or other get some food to fill their bellies. So now we have these great, great entertainers. And they get on stage in front of a stadium, sometimes with tens and thousands or hundreds and thousands of people. And they jump around like a monkey. And they make all kinds of sounds like a monkey. With all sorts of very, very sophisticated sound equipment, blaring out their monkey sounds on loudspeakers. And with crores of rupees worth of incredibly sophisticated lights and big screens showing magnified versions of their monkey-like dancing. One such monkey came to Bombay and was for months ahead of time there was hoardings, advertising, everyone come. And stadiums were filled. And people were, and women were weeping and crying and fainting. Like female monkeys. And this was the front page of every paper in Bombay. When Gauranga Prabhu speaks Bhagavad Katha, does that ever make front page of the newspapers of India? Well, when such a person dances around, why does he dance? Only for two reasons. To get money, which is the same as a monkey trying to get food from the trees, and to attract the opposite sex. You don't move like that unless you're trying to attract the opposite sex. He was not dancing like Lord Chaitanya. He was dancing like a monkey. Not a monkey from Vrindavan, a monkey from Delhi. And paid millions and millions of dollars, crores of rupees, and famous and honored and glorified all over the world. All over the world, people have posters of such monkeys on their walls. And magazines, newspapers, always eager to hear, read about what they are doing, who they're marrying, who they're divorcing, what kind of legal problems they have for various types of illegal activities. And this, and the more they do these things, the more they become heroes in the eyes of man. And in regard to athletes, some people, whoever can beat another man, the best. Do you know how much money they make? Just by taking your fists and smashing somebody in the head for about 45 minutes, they make $20 million. That's about, what, 80 crores of, 10 crores, how many? Not 80 lakhs. $20 million? There's 60 crores. 60 crores of rupees. Just for 45 minutes. And if you're really good, it might only take 5 minutes. You're just beating people in the face with your fists. But let that person come to IIT. And let him meet one of the panthers in the forest. And within 2 minutes, finished. But nobody will glorify the panther. They'll come with a gun and shoot the panther. But if a man does the same thing, everybody is a big, big hero, traveling around the world showing his trophies. Or if somebody jumps higher, some of these people, they jump very high. And they throw a ball in circles. And people glory, oh, very, very good jumping. Glorious. They want to see photographs, posters everywhere in the world, wearing t-shirts, wearing belts, wearing hats. But let him have a jumping contest with a kangaroo from the forests of Australia, utterly defeated. So yes, it is true that in our society today, because it's devoid of God consciousness, people are living like animals. And whoever is most animalistic is glorified as the most successful and accomplished of so-called human beings. In this particular verse, it is mentioning dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. And Srila Prabhupada explains the condition of a dog. Now, first of all, in a civilized society, like India, people respect the spirit soul in every living being. Vidyavanaya sampani brahmani kavihasti sunichaiva svapakicha pandita samadarshana. A learned and gentle Brahman sees every living being with equal vision. A Brahman cow? A elephant, a dog, or a dog eater? Because he sees that every living being is essentially part and parcel of Krishna. And that Jivatma, along with the Paramatma, is within the heart of everyone. Therefore, we should respect Krishna within everyone's heart. But at the same time, such a soul discriminates to understand according to what conditionings under the modes of material nature that one is living within. And in this way, one protects oneself from infection by these modes of material nature, and also tries to show compassion according to the particular person's extent of his diseased condition. Dog is considered to be a very lowly animal. Why? Because his actions are basically quite low. A dog, if they're allowed to be in their free wild condition, are something like wolves. I remember they're carnivorous, they're meat eaters. They'll kill rabbits, they'll kill whatever else is smaller than them that they can murder and eat. Yes? But they're not very discriminate. I have personal experience of seeing dogs eating stool on the ground. They like it very much. And they're very, 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 very proud of considering their little area to be their domain of where they are the rulers. And when you come into a dog's little area of illusory proprietorship, they will bark and show their teeth and threaten you in so many ways. Get out of here. This is my property. This is my place. You get out. It's out of ego and fear that they're barking. Do you hear? Srila Prabhupada, once he went to Singapore, he was invited there for a program, and the immigrations would not let him in. They said, "Where are you coming from? Why are you coming? What business do you have? You cannot come here. This is our country. Get out." They sent him away. Through the eyes of Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada considered that they have the exact same mentality as these dogs. Ruff, 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 ruff. Why have you come? What is your business? This is my country. You get out. You have no right. Now, in India, dogs are somehow or other, you respect the soul in their heart and you give them some prasad to purify them. But there's not much respect for their mentality. But in the West, the civilization that is ruling the world as far as culture, they have a saying, love me, love my dog. Because it is a fact, in any family in the West, practically, the most popular member is the dog. The dog is the one everyone likes. Everyone else in the family is fighting like dogs. They fight like dogs amongst themselves, but they love the dog. Everyone cooperates. He's the unifying factor in most families. I'm not exaggerating. I've personally seen, witnessed, experienced. how the brothers, the sisters, the mothers, the fathers, they have sibling rivalry. And there's always generation gaps between the parents and the children, where there's always so much competition. Deep down inside, they have some affection. But when it comes to practical daily lives, it's mostly just argumentation. But nobody argues with the dog. Everyone kisses the dog and pets the dog. And if the dog is more inclined toward one member of the family, people become envious. Dog is licking my brother. Why dog is not licking me? Dog sleeps on the bed of my brother. Why dog doesn't sleep in my bed? This is not exaggeration. And how much they love their dogs, and how much they spend so much money on the dogs. Today, if you go to big, big cities like Beverly Hills, Hollywood, very costly cities, you will see signs on the streets that it's a law that if you're walking your dog, now when you walk a dog, the dog doesn't walk behind you. The dog walks in front of you, and you're following. Mahajan Oyena. Following in the footsteps of the great souls. This is the conception. You have to keep your dog on leash, because otherwise he'll run away and you'll lose him, and you spend fortune on dogs. Sometimes you have to pay thousands and thousands of dollars to get a nice dog with nice hairs, with pedigree certificates. And you take them on your leash and you walk them. But what does a dog do? You know how much people spend on decorating dogs? One of the most successful businesses in the West are pet shops, where they sell puja paraphernalia for the animals. Very nice. In the winter, they put little boots, sometimes silk with wool, boots on the dogs, paws. And sometimes they put little coats on them. And what to speak of beauty parlors for the dogs, where they get grooming. It costs a lot of money. Where they give the dog a very nice haircut. But not just an ordinary. It's not like us, we just shave our heads, leave a sika. They have decorative fashions. They'll have photos with the fashions for each particular type of dog, how they will cut their hairs to make them beautiful. And they'll be walking down the street with their dog, and this is behind their dog, and this is very prestigious. If a person has a beautiful dog, everyone in the street will honor. They will say, oh, you have such a wonderful dog. Such a beautiful dog. Where did you get such a dog? But as far as the dog goes, he's a dog. What does he do on the street? Everyone knows what dogs do on the street. They pass stool. And the signs in these big, beautiful cities are that it is a law that the owner of the dog has to clean up the stool after the dog. Otherwise, you get arrested. So here are these big, big multimillionaires. They're carrying these certain little type of machines that pick up the stool after their dogs. clean up their stools. Now, this is the most menial service you can get. To clean another stool. We read about Narottam Das Thakur cleaning the stool of his Guru Maharaj, Lokanath Goswami. Or Ishwara Puri cleaning the stool of his Guru Maharaj, Madhavendra Puri. And we worship this. What a menial, humble servant, taking such a lowly position before a great soul. But in the West, they are accepting this menial service for a dog. They're das, anu das, but not Gopi Bharthur for the Kamalayar. The dogs. This is common acceptability. So the mentality of dogs is they are very much that this is mine, get out, before they bark, watch dogs. And they have dogs in the West that literally are as big or bigger than the horses in India. Prabhupada was very amazed when he saw these greyhound dogs. And I'll tell you another thing that may interest you. Do you know what the largest tourist attraction and one of the biggest money-making industries in the state of West Virginia is? Does any of you know? Dog racing. Not horse racing. Dog racing. It's a higher principle. People by the tens and thousands go into stadiums to see dogs race. These big, big greyhound dogs. They have numbers on them, and they shoot the gun, and the dogs race around the track so many times. And people bet their hard-earned money. Some people lose thousands of dollars. That means lakhs of rupees on the basis of which dog runs faster than the other. And as the dogs are running, everybody in the crowd, thousands and thousands of people, are cheering on the dogs. Go, Rover, go, Rover, go faster, go, Rover, go. Everybody, Rover's running, running, running. And some... And when the dog wins the race, everyone's cheering. I'm not exaggerating. They're very fast runners. People are glorifying dogs. And dogs are very expert at having sex with anything and anyone. When dogs are sniffing, you see dogs with their nose, they're always sniff, 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 sniff. What do you think they're sniffing for? They're not looking for what we put on after Nrsingha Arti. Nice essential oils. They're sniffing for the opposite sex. That's the nectar that they're seeking. But here, Srila Prabhupada is explaining how people who are trained in the modern universities, they end up with the same psychological composition as a dog. Dogs beg for some scraps of food. And similarly, as it is explained in this beautiful purport, a person works so many years. I don't know what the system is in India so much, but in the West, First you go 8 years in elementary school. Then 4 years in high school. You graduate high school when you're 18 years old. Then you go to college. To get a bachelor's degree takes 4 years. Then you're 22 years old. Generally, to get a master's degree takes another 3 years. You're 25 years old. Then to get a PhD could take anything from 3 years to the rest of your life. So by the time you're finished with your PhD, you're about, what, 28 years old, huh? Something like that. About 28 years old, now you're PhD. People are calling you doctor. And then what do you do with your PhD? From the age of 6, you begin school, to the age of 28, that means 22 years of the best, most productive, youthful years of your life, you're just struggling and laboring in your education. Why? Generally, it's not because people have a spontaneous taste for academic pursuits. It's because they're thinking that by doing this, in the future, I will have good hopes for material prosperity. So you're almost 30 years old, and you have your PhD, and then you have to get a job. Now, some people in their colleges, they right away get posted in certain jobs. I think IIT, sometimes they do like this. But that's not the way it is in most places in the world. Most places, they have to go out looking for a job. I personally know people who have PhDs in subject matters like psychology, philosophy, engineering. And do you know what they do to make their money? They're at the petrol pumps putting some petrol in the tanks because they can't get any other job. Because there's so many people with so much education. The market is becoming very saturated. There's certain people who get PhDs in certain academic subjects, especially where really the only job you can really get is a professor. And there's so many, and there's so little need of such professors. Because these days, all the students, they're going into engineering and computerization and everything. If someone gets a PhD in anything dealing with arts, or philosophy, or history, they usually cannot get a job after 22 years of study. So yes, you may have your job, or you may get some job, but then if the company, something goes wrong, then you're on the streets begging like dog. I have BA, I have MA, I have PhD, give me job. You go to the big companies, and they go, then you go to the next place. You're going, rough, 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 give me job, rough, 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 rough. And they go, hot. This is the condition. Very sad. But what is the saddest thing? That we come to this human form of life after perhaps roaming through 8,400,000 species. We've already had the bodies of dogs and hogs and camels and asses. And now we come to this valuable human life, which gives us the opportunity to realize the inner content of our soul, to realize our eternal nature, and experience unlimited ecstasy, to reunite with Krishna, the absolute truth. That is the integrity of human existence. But instead, the society forces us, by its conditioning, to act in the mentality of these lower animals. What a loss. What a shame. Therefore, when a devotee sees someone become very, very successfully materially, on one hand, a devotee honors that person. Because according to the scripture, wherever there's power, we understand there's the presence of God, even in material power. If someone, Prabhupada explained, if someone has a very big position, king, prime minister, president, we should, on one level, respect those people. Because somehow or other, that person has gotten such immense influence and power, which is coming originally in its pure form from Krishna. But because people do not understand the source of their energy, and they're not using it in his service, generally, their very opulences become the cause of their degradation and their bondage. Therefore, the devotees, they are never envious of anyone with material success or prosperity. Rather, they feel compassion and sympathy for such a person, because they're wasting their valuable human lives. We should never, ever, ever be envious of someone who has better material facilities or acquisition than ourselves. That is ignorance. It is illusion. So what? It's all temporary. He may have it, I may have it, she may have it, they may have it, but it's all... Lakshmi is chanchala in this world. Good fortune never stays with anyone for very long. So we should not be impressed by these things, by someone with great, great education, with great, great money, with great, great physical powers or abilities, with much fame amongst dogs, hogs, camels, and asses, with physical beauty, or even those who are very detached and renounced. These things do not impress us. What impresses us is those qualities that attract Krishna. Humility, devotion, detachment from ego. That is real renunciation. That willingness to serve without desiring anything in return. Determination to be fixed on the path of devotion. These attributes bring us a great amount of inspiration. And wherever we see this, we worship those qualities. That is Krishna conscious culture. But without Krishna conscious culture, Svavid Baraho Strakaraya Shamshita Purusha. Prestigious university. You can utilize your education to acquire assets which will use in the service of God for the upliftment of humanity for the rest of your life. Or you can use those same assets to become a big, big, over-glorified dog, hog, camel, or ass. That is your choice. Thank you very much. Is there any questions? Have I made any aparads? Actually, we like dogs, and we like hogs and cows. We should feel love and sympathy for every creature of the Lord. But at the same time, we have to see through the eyes of scriptures. Krishna reveals different types of illusion in different ways through different types of living entities. And as human beings, we must learn from this process. Shivananda saying, you know the story of that dog? He was taking the devotees to Puri, several hundred devotees. He was such a great Vaishnav. Shivananda saying, literally, he paid the expenses and made all the arrangements for 200 to 300 devotees every year to walk from Navadvip Dham, Shantipur Dham, Kulinagram Dham, all the way to Shri Puri Dham. One time a dog came. Most of the people would just say, "Hut, get out of here." But Shivananda say, "No, no. This dog has come to join us." He treated him like the other Vaishnavas. Provided prasad every day. Even when they came to a boat, all the devotees got in the boat, and when the dog was about to come on the boat, the boatman, "Hut, get out! No dogs on my boats." Dogs are considered dirty. They lick themselves with their tongues, and they do all kinds of dirty things. So, Shivananda Singh said, "No, no, I am servant. I must take him to Puri." So he paid extra money, more than any of the humans, he paid extra money to convince that person to let the dog on the boat. And when his assistants did not feed the dog, he was so upset, he stopped everything to search for him. And when they finally arrived in Puri and they saw the dog being fed by the hand of Mahaprabhu himself, Shivananda Sen offered his obeisances to the feet of the dog, apologizing for his offenses. So how do we accommodate these two apparently opposite observations of a dog? You see, Shivananda Singh, due to the love and compassion in his heart, he wanted to upgrade the dog to get the mercy of Krishna. But people in Western civilization, they want to degrade their own consciousness to that of a dog. That is the difference. A devotee can be very compassionate to the dog. He doesn't sacrifice his own position to follow in the footsteps of a dog, but he tries to accommodate the opportunity for the dog to reach the perfection of life. Srila Prabhupada said, if you feed a dog prasad, that dog is guaranteed a human birth in his next life. Otherwise, he has to go through thousands and thousands and thousands of births to reach the human existence, suffering terribly. But give him prasad, he'll be a human in this next life. Not only a human, but because he's begun his spiritual life by taking prasad. If that dog hears the holy name, takes prasad, or somehow or other becomes attracted to a devotee, then that dog, human birth, and will meet a Vaishnava in that next human birth and be given the opportunity to continue on in his spiritual life. So devotees are very merciful to the animals, compassionate to the animals, but they don't try to imitate the activities of the animals. They don't try to glorify the animalistic propensities that we find in other human beings, but rather, as a humble servant like Shivananda Sen is trying to give everyone Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. I very much appreciate your very wonderful hospitality upon me since I've been here. It's been a great fortune and very happy moments being with all of you. I find in all of you a very rare and treasured enthusiasm to hear and chant about Krishna. My prayer is that this enthusiasm will ever increase within your hearts to bring your higher and higher realms of humility and devotion at the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. And that you may day by day become more and more attached to serving Vaishnavas, chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.